This is actually quite timely because Barker was making a point at the top of the show about John Lester and the issues he has thrown to first base. And I was telling, you know, Kevin, that I had the, I'm going to say it was the misfortune of seeing the game where you had your hand basically exploded in a throw to first base. That's really the only way to put it. What goes through your mind when you see that, Cliff? Because that's got to bring back some memories, right?
Yeah, it absolutely does. But I think the big thing is, you know, for me, they've worked on this thing so much, fellas, that it really is not a big issue unless you exploit it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when you work on it, you are ready for it. When Gil Heredia, who threw the ball, you know, had a little tail on it, and you know, Todd Hundley ran into my wrist, you know, that's something you can't foresee happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when you have the issues that John Lester has, if you don't exploit them, then what's the sense of going over them? What's the sense of showing a video? What's the sense of Kiki Hernandez getting on base and getting the lead that he got? I mean, because if you don't go first moving, KB, you can speak to if I'm on first base, I'm sorry, I don't care how good or how hard or whatever the throw that David Ross is going to throw second base, I'm gone on first movement. Only thing I'm worried about is I'm stepping off.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can tell me, you know, whatever you want, but the plan was to get on first base, get a huge lead, go first movement, and see if you can make it to second base and get in scoring position. That would have, in my opinion, changed the whole landscape of the first inning and gave them a run. I just think that if you're going to go in, don't go half-assed, go all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, Cliffy, I gotta, don't take this the wrong way, but whenever I watch Jason Heyward, I think of you a little bit. You when you're standing at the batter's box, your swing was your setup was a little bit different, but your hands, you started them in sort of the same kind of spot, but you walked away from your hands, meaning you separated them. It's the rubber band theory. And if you watch Heyward, he doesn't do any of that. In your eyes, in the off season, what does he need to do to get better?
Man, you know, I've been thinking about him a lot. And reason is, you know, I see a lot of him in me. You know, KB, I think he's spot on. I really do. I think that when you watch him, you feel for him. I'm tired of having my conversation with myself of how bad he is. You know, amongst myself with my drinking hand going, oh, my gosh, why are you missing this 88-mile-an-hour fastball? And I know it's not hard, fellas. I do. We've been there, KB. We've been in that box. We know the pressure. We know that. You know, we all want to come through and be successful for our team. I understand that. Like, this is not to destroy Jason Heyward. But what I'm saying is we've seen the same setup for a long time. And when something don't work in this game, the game is about adjustments, whether it be mental or physical. And I think when you watch his swing this offseason, he needs to go home. He got a ton of money. Sit in the basement. Make him a boys room downstairs. A man cave or whatever the hell you want to call it, and sit there and go, look, the left side of the screen does not work. We've seen that. We know the offense, we know the defense is there, we know the baseball skills are there, the IQ is there, but what he needs to do is take that swing on the left side of the screen and throw it in the trash and then start all over. We've seen swings be built from ground zero up. I've been there where the hitting coaches go, look, that ain't working. All right, now, whether you want to believe me or be stubborn or whatever, it's on you. But you have to understand that the swing you have right now, the detachment or whatever it is you're thinking at the box, this is no longer a mental thing. The swing and the path to the baseball, where his bat is lagging through the zone, is not working. You have to figure something out. And I think he's physical enough in terms of his, you know, stature and everything to be able to make that adjustment.
The Cubs, by the way, beat the Dodgers 8-4 yesterday, last night in Game 5 of the NLCS. Chicago has a 3-2 lead in the series, and they are one win away from the first World Series appearance since 1945. Cliff, I think the world might end if it's the Cubs and the Indians. I'm
you
serious.
Know what?
It's the end times World Series.
It's crazy. I'm thinking about putting some helicopter tours around Wrigley, right, if they win, because you know how much money we'll make?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because you know, you think about it, nobody. I mean, do we really want to be walking around and in that? I mean,
no.
You got to take your wallet out your pocket, you got to go to the game with nothing in your possession.
That's
and yeah, think about it. It's going to be the most chaotic craziness that we've ever seen in the history of sports.
Because that's your city, Cliff. That's where you're from, and you know what?
Oh, I know.
You know what'll happen.
I'm telling you, without anything burning completely down, like Wrigley might burn down. They might be playing like at whatever U.S. Cellular Field is called now next year until they build a Wrigley Field, because the people can taste it again, and the ride of emotions that's been through this NLCS is going to drive people insanely crazy enough to do something insanely crazy if they should win.
What do the Dodgers have to do now? They're down 3-2. They've got Clayton Kershaw. That's a big asset.
Right.
But what do they have to do to get past the Cubs? And if this series does go 7 mm-hmm. games, you know, the Cubs, they've got a great team, but they've also got that history, and this group has not advanced to the World Series. If this goes 7 games, can the Dodgers pull it off, do you think?
I think the pressure would mount so much on the Cubs that it'll be one of those games will be obviously legit riding the straddle on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to make that, you know, yes, they can do it. I think in Wrigley, the pressure, it might get to the Cubs, and if they win the first few innings, scoring first in the first couple of innings, then they can do it. This is going to be, game 6 is going to be, when you talk about the legacy, and Clayton Kershaw has been terrific. Right, we've seen it, you know, any other team than the Cardinals, and this dude is terrific. That goes to show you how humanized this game is.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the Cardinals was playing in the postseason this year and Kershaw had to face them, we would all be wondering, can he get past?
Right.
Well, we saw a total different Clayton Kershaw this postseason. And I think we'll see the same guy we've seen thus far in game 6. So to game 7, to your point, JB, I think the biggest thing is winning the first few innings, meaning scoring first if you're the Dodgers, and putting a ton of pressure on Hendricks to slow down, you know, the momentum, because momentum sways back and forth. And if you get it, you have it, and then now you're grasping hold to it. So the first team that scores has a legitimate chance, especially when you're talking about a Dodgers team that's coming off of a big victory would be if they beat them in game 6, then you would be having that momentum in game 7.
Yeah, now, Cliffy, let me ask you about the Blue Jays. Obviously, the Blue Jays lost back-to-back ALCS. As you lost an NLCS, you understand how that feels.
Right.
But for great players like Donaldson, Tulowitzki, Martin, what does the front office and Mark Shapiro have to do to say to those players that we're all on board? Is it a drastic kind of player? Is it bringing Edwin back? Or does that even matter?
Well, a lot of things matter, and you know, you get crucified on Twitter. That thing Twitter that you're talking about. You know what? You know, so you get crucified a little bit, but you have to worry about the investment in players that you have on the squad. And what I mean by that is, you have investments in Tulo, you have investments in Dow, you have investments in these guys. Don't let the window of opportunity slide by.
Mm-hmm.
Your pitching is in a position to be really good. You've done some things that put you in a position to make this thing grow for, you know, for longer than 17 and 18 and 19, in my opinion. But you don't let it go by the wayside. So you might tweak this and tweak that, but you don't go and just dismantle a squad like this. You don't let the Boston Red Sox take your best player and Edwin Encarnacion. It just don't happen.
Mm.
So for me, you know, if I looked at that team and said, you know, when they went home, you saw a look on Kevin Pillar's face. You saw a look on some of these cats' faces. And for me, it's like tweaking a little bit, adding some speed, figuring out what's wrong with Devin Travis so you can keep him healthy. Doing some of these little things to give you a position to find your leadoff guy and have him, whether that be Melvin Upton or whoever the heck you're going to have out there,
mm-hmm.
and make him your guy, and then have your power source pretty much in the middle of the order where you're doing damage. I think you have to find Joey Bats, figure out a way to get it done, whether you defer payments or whatever, and then figure out how to get Edwin back on that squad again, because you can ill afford to lose those type of manpower and expect to be in contention for years to come.
Yeah, now Jeff asked me before you came on, would I trade a guy like a Marcus Stroman to get what you need? I'm going to ask you the same question. Would you trade a guy like a Marcus Stroman to get on the offensive side what you need?
if you're going to have to lose that those studs in the middle, you have to bring back something. You do. You've given up a stud, a top of the rotation type of pitcher, and you're trying to figure out who's that guy. Because to me, we've seen it time and time again. Good pitching beats good hitting. So when you're giving this up, you're hoping the guy that you bring in to sort of slide into that slot in the middle of the order is not going to have a 50-50 type of year. You have to know that it's been consistent and hope that when he comes into the squad, he's not the guy that's been on the, sort of the other side as we've seen with Tulo. Tulo's had some great moments with the Jays, but he's had some not-so-great moments. We haven't seen the same Tulo we've seen in Colorado. So when you bring it in as power source, you got to almost be 100 on that he's going to bring you the numbers that Eddie brought, and if it's not going to be, then I'm sorry. Can't do it.